It's a bit of joy for my wife and I to be back here for quite a while. And Lily was asked to be the substitute in place of my son, who will be the preacher today, Martin John. I was very happy to accept the invitation, the request, knowing that there will be always a blessing, not only for us, who will be visiting you here, but you also would be the recipient of God's word for the message. So my prayer is that at this time, I will be a very happy substitute. Gamitin pa rin ang Panginoon ang ating pagsama-sama at sa ating pag-aral ng salita ng Diyos. Okay. So, it's really a joy. I really mean it from the depths of our hearts. And it's good to see once again faces which I saw before. And I think you're getting more familiar to me now. And our prayers is that it will, in God's own time, I hope it will be soon, that we'll be able to call you by your first names. Because that will be really good. That's always our goal, to know people and call them by their first names. And to also spell your names correctly. Okay, so our message today is found in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 16. Starting from verse 19 to verse 31. This is a real fascinating story. And I would like to read this and kindly follow me along quietly while I'm reading the passage, starting from verse 19 up to the last, that's verse 31. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the dogs, from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that I may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. Verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. 31. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, the one rose from the dead. this is a chilling story. Many Bible teachers, not quite many, a good number of Bible teachers, call this the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. This is not a parable. This is a real story. If you study the parables that Jesus has been telling all throughout his ministry on earth, the parables, all of them, he never mentioned names of characters. That's the big difference. In parables, no names. But how come he mentions the name of the poor man here, the beggar, Lazarus? You might ask the question, how come Jesus didn't mention the rich man's name? Right? In those days, the rich man was well known. Who doesn't know President Donald Trump? The expression says, it goes without saying the name. Many already, or almost all, knew whom he was talking about, because it has already the headlines. If there were radio, or if there were social media at those times, it's all right there. The people already knew who he was talking about. So it's common knowledge, we call it. Okay? So we'll start with this note. I want to really make that clear, that this is not a parable. This is not just a story or a legend or a myth like Bathala in the Philippines. Like Huwantamat, you know, the story, you know. It's a real historic story that really happened those times. But here we see three important things in this part. I hope you will read this passage again, maybe sometime tonight, and don't let next week pass by without reading this again, okay? You promise?
Yeah.
Three important things. We notice out of this parable, number one here, from verse 19 up to verse 20, BA, the first part of verse 20, it talks about two lives. So I can make a subtitle here. It's not only the story of the rich man and Lazarus, but the subtitle could be fitly put here, or aptly put here, the story of two men. Two lives! And then, verse 20, B, it talks about two deaths. Two deaths. And then from verse 20b up to the last verse, verse 31, two destinies. Two destinies. And it's all in sharp contrast. Two lives, rich and poor. Two deaths, okay, you will see it. I will not mention it so that you will not sleep. Okay, keep on following. Okay, you'll be so well attentively. And two destinies. Two eternal destinies. We see first here in this story that Jesus said there were two men. One was poor, the other was rich. The poor man here is mentioned by Lazarus. Okay? What was the kind of life he lived? I believe he didn't live long, relatively long human life on earth. Because if you are always malnourished and you always eat the unbalanced diet, and you are living a life of abject poverty. And you know what poverty is? experienced, most of us, I believe, what it means to be poor. I know what it means to be poor. I grew up in a family of 11. My father was a preacher, but he was a preacher in a country church, small. And the early 1940s, I was born 1943. My father was living a life without fixed salary as a preacher. He was starting out a church. We call that pioneering, starting a church. It's difficult. Only very few people, and most people are poor. So I know how it is to be poor. And then my father had no fixed salary. So every one of us, there was no family planning then. That's why we were cheaper than the Nazis. It's hard. I do believe I was so impressed with my mom. She was the greatest mathematician I know. It was a small portion of fire, a fish. She would be dying for the 11th month. Wow, it takes real skill as a mathematician to make all of them okay for the 11th. So what it means to the poor, I know. Ian Lazarus was living a life of poverty. And not only poverty, a life of misery and pain, suffering. Because he's got all the sores all over his body. I don't know what example. Skin disease, bones or whatnot, all that will get you the pain. And think about real horrible picture Jesus was painting him, describing about Lazarus and about his poverty and about his sufferings. These three doors would come and go and lick his skin all over his sores. And that was them. So unhygienic, isn't it? Wow, what a sign. But here we see, Jesus said, soon the beggar died. He was only living on a very, what he called, very limited and very small, insignificant crumbs from the rich man's table. And this Lazarus was right there, was begging on the gates of the rich man's palace, the rich man's mansion. Plenty of food right there. He was so rich. But here Lazarus was contented to eat meagerly the crumbs from the table. So this is the reality Jesus was describing, the detail, just to prove how hard it is to be a poor person and to be sick. But here, being poor and sickly, deprived of all the good things of life, he died. Have you noticed that in the story, the beggar, Lazarus, died first? Not the rich man. It makes sense, right? You lack food, you're sick, no doctor, no money, no friends. You die of consumption. So hard. We call that consumption. Right? Wow. So, it makes sense. He died first. Now we go to the other side, the contrast. The rich man. said, joy abundance. That princes, all the glory, people look up to him. So many servants those times, so many attendants, clothed with purple, even the clothes. Purple at the time was the most expensive clothing. That's why Jesus used a purple. I don't know what is the most expensive right now. Not this one. What kind? 100% wool, royal, 100% cotton, not synthetic. Wow! He's got all the top on the line. Class. Oh, shall we say the labels? Like Nike. Wow, all those. And also the food on the table was super abundant. Everything. There must be music, entertainment. Wow, very happy. But the bishop didn't even care for the beggar. He didn't even dare to go and say, how are you? No. Crumbs. Just give it. That's all. In other words, he didn't show any compassion. Any, just a little sign of caring. Oh, compassion and kindness and mercy. Never. But his life. So he was wallowing in wealth. Entirely forgetting the suffering, groaning, hungry, starving beggar on his cake. But you know, story doesn't stop there. He died also. You read that in the Bible, it says, he died also. You underline the word also. Because that's very important. You know what I mean? Even if you own all the money, the gold, the silver, and all of the fame, and all of the adulation and acclamation of the people of this world, you will still. You cannot buy life, and you cannot buy the time and say, oh, wait, let's postpone my death. When death will come to you, that's it. Even if you're a king or a queen, or even if you're a multi-millionaire or even billionaire. So both of them died. But we see your eternal death. Two lives, two deaths. Lazarus, even when he died, he was right away what? He was begging. Quick. A poor man at the time, a beggar at the time, there was no healing. Believe me. No view. That's out of the picture, not in the radar. If you're a poor man, they will just wrap your body during those times. During those times, in the Jewish society, those times, will just wrap your body with a ship and all that, and throw you, maybe dig a big hole there, and throw you into that. No service, no eulogy. Nobody will say to you, oh, he was a great man. They will be for a poor man. But I believe there is man. Maybe the governor of the province, the city mayor and all, they would say all of the long eulogies, praise, of what this man had done when he was alive. In other words, there was a very respectable and, shall we say, pompous. Pompous meaning show, big time, funeral, procession, and all of that. The limousine, you know, in his procession, and all of that. Those. The contrast of their deaths, the contrast at their lives. But number three, starting from verse 20b up to 31, verse 31, the two destinies. It's contrasting too. You see here, Lazarus died. He was buried. Maybe he was just thrown into the pit. Everybody didn't care. Forgotten. But I like that description of Jesus. And the angels carried him and brought him to Abraham's bosom. Even though we die as poor people, even though the world rejects you and nobody cares who are you, rejected at all, lowly, poor, but if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're related to Him when you were born again, when you were still alive, you accepted Him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, the angels of God. Who are the angels? It's amazing. If you study who the angels are, and why are they here, and what are they doing, that's amazing. Fascinating story and teaching of the Bible. Angels, Hebrews 1:14, it says there, aren't angels the ministering spirits? Ministering spirits. And they are assigned by God to protect, to guide, and to help those who are heirs of salvation. Amen. Meaning all of those who are believers in Jesus Christ, if you believe in Jesus and you're born again Christian, and you are, I believe, with all my heart, Amen. Then when we die, you will have angels to escort you and bring you Abraham's bosom. And this expression, Abraham's bosom, is the Old Testament, the Jewish expression, concept of heaven or paradise. That's the Old Testament expression about heaven. Abraham's bosom. Amazing. In other words, it goes to show that Lazarus, even though he was poor, and he seemed to be like a beggar with poor. But he had Jesus in his heart, and when he died, his soul was brought to heaven. He was buried in a pit. Maybe he was burned. But what is that? What did the angels carry and bring to Abraham? His soul. And in Philippians 1:21, the Apostle Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. And in verse 22 it says here, I don't want, I'm in a quandary, meaning I'm in a dilemma, I don't know what to do. If I live, I serve Jesus. But when I die, it's even much better. I will be with Him. And in 2 Corinthians 5:8, the Apostle Paul says, absent from the body, present. That will happen to you and to me because we have Jesus in our lives. How about the rich man? The rich man died and he was buried. Wow. So many eulogies. Very impressive. Necrological service was done for the rich man. The Bible says, when he died, and as well as he died, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. That's heaven, the Old Testament concept. He saw. The body was buried. What is part of the body that saw Abraham and Lazarus? The soul. That only goes to show that we have the soul. The body dies because the body separates from the soul. but the soul will never die. Maybe you heard about the immortality of the soul. And that is taught in the Bible very clearly. You will never die, your soul. Either you will go to heaven or you will go to hell. And this is the story here. So he lifted, and then he is in torment. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Wow, it's amazing. And also hair-raising, chilling. It gives me the goosebumps when I think about what hell. This also proves that he was conscious, because he saw, and then he even prayed. He never prayed in his life while he was on earth. He left at people praying. I tell you, this rich man, because he thought that he had control of all earth, of everything, almost all things in this world. Having money and saying, I've got power and all the control. But now he is begging Abraham, please send Lazarus and dip the tip of his finger on the water and have that water flow on the tip of the finger on my tongue, because I'm here in torment. Hell is not a joke. Hell is not a laughing thing. Believe me, it's a place of torment. And more than that, not only torment, hell is a place where your prayers will never, never be answered. He prayed! No. You can pray now in the name of Jesus. You will be answered. Your prayers. No more when you are in hell. And say, Lord, bring me back. And now I repent. Forget it. And when he was asked, Abraham said, son, that's the Old Testament expression for people. Father, son. Son, remember, when you were born, you had all the good things. And now Lazarus had the worst on earth. But now there is what we call the reversal of condition. Lazarus is enjoying now the eternal peace of rest in heaven. It's a place of bliss. Heaven, that's what it's a place of bliss. Paradise. Hell is a place of torment. Now you are tormented there, Abraham. And Lazarus is enjoying rest and comfort and joy in heaven. And he said, oh, it doesn't work to me. Another thing, oh Father Abraham, please send Lazarus back to earth, if not to me here in hell. I have 5 brothers there. Oh boy, for the first time, this rich man turned to be a missionary. He wanted to really reach out. It's very late. For the first time, he said, I'm much better compared on earth to my brothers. If I'm here, how much more my brothers? They really are more torpes than I. Oh my! So send! And Abraham said, son, remember, they have Moses. That's the Old Testament, the 5 books of the law, the Pentateuch, Moses. And they have the prophets. Moses, Pentateuch, and the prophets. In other words, they have the Old Testament scriptures. Remember that at this time, at this point of time, there was no New Testament yet. In other words, they have the scriptures. Moses and the prophets. Wow. If they will not believe the Bible, the Old Testament, even though you go and see you in person and listen, telling them, they will not still believe. Have you encountered some people right now? If you try to ignite this religion, I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. Nobody has gone from heaven.
If ever there was one coming down from heaven,
I do believe. They forgot that Jesus came down from heaven already a long time ago. The point here is this, brothers and sisters, heaven is a place where prayers are never answered for eternity. And not the one. Abraham said, son, you cannot just go there. Even I will send you, it's impossible. Because between heaven and hell, at this time, Hades and Paradise, at this time, there is what? A chasm, an unbridgeable chasm, a big gulf fixed that no one can go there for a vacation and walk. Impossible. This is to be very sober. At the same time, it looks funny, yes, but very sober. The two choices in life is very important. Make a real choice while you are still alive. Lazarus must have chosen to believe in Jesus. The rich man rejected. He chose to reject Jesus. Choice. The choice of your destinies is determined when you are alive. Because once you are dead, no more second chance. Hebrews 9:27, it says there. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after that, the judgment. No more second chance. So I'll close with these practical ramifications. We call this application. Number one, let's not be mistaken, okay? Let's not be mistaken thinking that going to heaven is only for the poor. And you go to hell if you get rich. Yeah! Because that you could easily, you know? Think about it. Oh my, Lazarus went to heaven because he was poor. And this rich man went to hell because he was rich. No. It's not whether you're rich or poor. It's the choice you have. This rich man had no compassion for the beggar. By all indications, his works showed evidently that he had no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because James makes it clear, if you have genuine and true faith, it will be manifested by your good works. Mm-hmm. So he had no genuine faith in Jesus. Not Lazarus did not go to heaven, paradise, at the time, because he was poor. It's not John 3:36, very clear. So many verses in the Bible. It says in John 3:36, he who has the Son has life, but he who doesn't have the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides. So it's by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's number one clarification. Number two, I believe choice in life is a determining factor of our eternal destinies. Make the choice while you are still alive and wild in your mind, sound in mind. Don't delay and procrastinate. There's the danger of what? Delaying. We call it procrastination. Procrastination is what? In the Philippines, we call that manana habit. Bukas lang. Tomorrow only. I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. When you die, and it's sad. I have talked to a good number of people. Few, maybe a year ago, or a year and a half ago. I've got a contact just in mind that in our neighborhood,
the high-rise building
near our house.
A lady was in depression because of marital problems and whatever. So I prayed with her and all that. And soon as she made decision for Christ, she said, "Could you also talk to my dad?" And I said, "Where is your dad?" And she said, "My dad is in the hospital, but he is few days from now discharged by the hospital." And decided, hopeless, because of his advanced cancer, fourth stage. So he was dying. He was in the home now. And I said, "Once he gets home, then I go." So with him, I went there. The dad. And he was at the time, talked to him and he's dying in the house, in the apartment. Must be late 70s. Must be 75, 76, 77. So I introduced myself. I'm a preacher. I love Jesus and I like you to know and love Jesus too. And then I presented to him the way of salvation and two destinies ahead. This brevity of life, so sure. The surety of death. The curse of sin and hell that awaits people who are judged because of sin. And the remedy in Christ, the cure, from the curse of sin. That's by faith in Jesus. And Jesus will forgive you if you believe in him. Believe me, he will, as he promised. So he made it clear, I made it clear to him. And then I said, I press for this decision, choice. I said, "Why don't you go make that decision right?" Of course, he was dying. Any time. So to me, that was urgent. I don't want to delay. Again and again. And you know what he said? I asked him, "You understand?" "Yes." "Will you make the decision? Will you believe in Jesus?" And he said, because he couldn't say it, he couldn't speak anymore. He said, so again, I talked to him, pleaded with him, because of the urgency. Because hell is not a joke. Because destiny is determined when you are still alive. So I then repeated. Then I pressed, pleaded with him. He wouldn't. Three times. He wouldn't. "I will not force you. And Jesus will never force anyone." So I said, "I hope I'm not leaving, but I hope and pray that you will change your mind." See? You know, a day after, the daughter informed me to be dying. My heart was broken. Because we know where people want to go after death without Christ. The Apostle Paul says, "You will go into a hopeless and Christless eternity." So my challenge for you is, how important it is for us to really be witnesses. You have friends. Maybe you have an unbelieving husband or wife, unbelieving children, unbelieving employers, or neighbors, relatives, close friends. You know where they are going after death without Christ. So we see here the urgency. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. What did he say? Today is an accepted or favorable time.
Today is the day of salvation. Do not say tomorrow, tomorrow.
Lest the devil might harden your heart tomorrow. Lest he might allure and deceive you that you will say no tomorrow. Right now. Because we want people to be ready to meet their God. Amos 4:12 says, Amos chapter 4, verse 12, prepare to meet your God. Are you prepared?
Amen.
How about your neighbors? How about your classmate? How about your fellow worker in your office? For 20 years now, that's the story of one believer, one friend of mine, a brother of the Lord. There was a baptismal service in the church. The testimony of the baptismal candidate said, I should have accepted Jesus Christ long time ago. Because, and you mentioned one of the members there in church. We were together for almost 20 years now in the office, but he never told me about Jesus. I only came to know about Jesus from others. We were always together. We had coffee together. We talked about it. We were there. Isn't it a shame? I tell you, we will be given account for that. Their hands must be, the blood must be in our hands. If we don't hear them about Jesus. So I hope that this will revolutionize each one of us. Just to think about life is short. Two destinies. Death is so certain. After that, judgment. For unbelievers, I hope that we will do the business. We are here, brothers and sisters, called to be saved, right? We are saved. And we are saved to serve. To witness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, put your hand of blessing on this story. So many fruits. We have just started on the scratch. Thank you, Lord, that you have once again refreshed us, encouraged us, and emboldened us to really go out and pray and witness. Find ways and means that our loved ones, our friends, our acquaintances, our office mates will hear the gospel of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Marcelo.